no doubt in my mind his love for us. But I wonder sometime about our love for him. We sing about him, we shout about him, but our lives show something totally different. We love ourselves more than anything else. I don't expect no shouting on that. I'm just stating a fact. You say, well, not me. Well, I could prove it. All I got to do is go out there and cut your tires. All I got to do is borrow $5 from you and forget to pay you back. We'll see how much you love God. Y'all all right? Amen. Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. I don't really have a sermon this morning, just a thought. Mark chapter number 6. I believe I'm going to put my finger on a sore spot this morning. I didn't come to preach hard to you, but I come to point out a problem. This is where in Mark chapter number 6, I believe we are in Christianity. I'm talking about worldwide, especially nationwide, statewide, countywide, citywide. I'm bringing it on down to Happy Valley wide. I'm not responsible for Brother Swofford and the Fullerville Baptist Church. I'm not responsible for Brother Jeff Bird and the Gateway Baptist Church. Amen. But for this one right here,
I'm not preaching to those who are at the lake today. I'm not preaching to them that are on vacation. I'm talking to you. My microphone's off. I'm preaching to nobody.
Can you hear me now? You want me to start all over? I'm going to put my finger on a sore spot. I want you to look with me at Mark chapter number 6, and I'm just going to give you some background. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 52. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 52. The disciples are in a boat, and they're alone without the Lord. And a storm comes up.
Seems like every time they get out on the water, I quit sailing. I don't know about y'all.
Amen.
But every time they get out on that ocean or on that sea, they get in trouble. I want you to look at verse number 52. The Bible said, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves." Now watch this. For what?
Verse 52. Everything in this world's trying to mess with me this morning. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now I'm going to back up and give you a little background. In the last few chapters, there have been a lot going on. I mean, they started out getting in the boat in Mark chapter number 4 of the Lord, and the storm arose, and he stood up on the bow of the ship, you remember, and said, "Peace be still." They went over the Sea of Gennesaret, and when they got the shore in Gennesaret, there met them a man full of demons. The Lord cast the demons out of the guy. You know the story. After all this, some other things have taken place, and the Lord looks at his disciples, and here's what he says, "We're going to take a day off. A much needed day off. We're going to go apart and we're going to rest a while. Matter of fact, we're just going to go where there ain't nothing. We're going to go to a desert place and we're just going to kick it for a little bit." Are y'all with me? Can you imagine the disciples? They went, "Yeah, man, all right. It's about time we took a little leisure." How many of you ready for vacation? Hallelujah. Ought to take one every now and then. But you shouldn't live on one. You know the story, they go on vacation. They get to this desert place, and guess who's there? everybody they're trying to get away from. I stayed in a prophet's chamber this week, and I was laying in bed. My wife and I were going on vacation in just a couple of weeks, and I was dreaming about vacation. We got to our hotel, we walked into the lobby, and all y'all was there. Everybody, everywhere I went, I heard, "Brother Eddie, Brother Eddie, Brother Eddie, Brother Eddie, Brother Eddie." And I thought, this ain't vacation. My cell phone was ringing off the hook. I had a nightmare. This day in this desert place was their nightmare. There were 5,000 people besides the women and the children, day off. The disciples said, "Lord, this is our off day. Get rid of that crowd." That's what they said. They said, "Lord, send them away. Send them away. I thought this is our day off." Y'all okay? We ain't about this today. Well, you know how the Lord is. Day off or not, if there's a need, he's ready. He starts asking questions about what have we got? Can we feed them? No, we ain't got enough money. Send them home. And little old Andrew, I bet they was kicking Andrew. "Shut up, shut up, shut up. Hey, Jesus, Jesus." There's a little boy. "Shut up. He'll send them home if you'll keep your mouth shut." "Jesus, there's a little boy over here got a lunch. Bring it to me." Day off. Just keep that in your mind. Day off. You know the story. He takes the loaves and the fishes. He prays over it. It multiplies miraculously. I don't believe all of a sudden there was enough food there to feed everybody. I just think the food in the basket didn't run out. And then when it was over, they took up what people couldn't eat. And there's 12 baskets left over. Day off. 5,000 plus the women and children. I'm going to figure this on the negative side and say there were at least 15,000 people there. 10. At least 10. Wouldn't you figure? This was before contraception. Y'all all right? They were some young'uns in that place is what I'm trying to say. How many disciples? Come on, help me. Come on, help me. 12. How long do you think it'd take 12 people to feed 15,000 people? How long do you think it'd take 12 people to feed 15,000 people? Day off. Day off. I'm going somewhere if you'll stay with me. After their day off, the Lord said, "Y'all just get back in the boat and go back over yonder, and I'm going to go pray a little while." The end of this day, day off. They get back in the boat, a storm arises. Always remember, after a blessing, you're going to get tested. Every single time. After a blessing, Jesus is proof in the pudding. John baptized him in the River Jordan. The Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." No sooner did he leave that River Jordan till he met the devil face to face. Am I right about it? Soon as the Lord blesses your socks off, the devil's fixing to climb up on your back. Every single time. Day off. Now let me ask you a question. How many of us, had we been there that day and watched him feed 15,000 people with a Happy Meal? 5 loaves and 2 fish. I ain't talking about loaves like it. I'm talking about 5 biscuits and 2 fishes. The same day. It's not a week after revival. It's not a month after revival. It's that night. I'm okay, Jason. Thank you, brother. It's the same day, Brother Freddie. And already. ready, soon as the storm comes, the Bible said they hardened their heart. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, I know I'm human. I walk in a body of flesh, but I just seen the Lord do this great miracle this morning. Probably right around lunchtime, and by nightfall, I've got a hard heart. Would you? Do you think you would? Do you think after seeing God do something that great that morning, by that night, you'd already have a hard heart? Every one of us would say, no way, man. If I saw Jesus in the flesh do this and do that, ain't no way by nightfall I'd have a hard heart. We okay? I want to show you some couple of things this morning. And this ain't going to be your Sunday morning sermon, I'm sorry. This is probably not going to be a cheer you up, pump you up kind of message. But I want to talk to you about your hard heart. Let me say it again. I want to talk to you about your hard heart. We look at those disciples and go, how dare them? How in God's dear name? Yeah, man, you were just with the Lord. You just saw Him do all those great things and you've already, by nightfall, got a hard heart? Why, you bunch of idiots. I'm going to show you something. Go to John, the last chapter, John chapter number 21. I want to show you the reasons for a hard heart. I want to show you why my heart gets hard. I want to show you why your heart gets hard. Nobody in here would raise their hand and say, preacher, I've got a hard heart. We don't want to admit that. But it's all over this room. It's all up in the balcony. It's all out in children's church. It's all in junior church. It's all in the teen church. We have hard hearts. I see it everywhere I go. I preach to people who are lifeless. They sang that song a while ago. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. You look like a cotton picking statue. We should put a plaque up under your feet and name you as a memorial of who you used to be. I'm obeying God this morning. You do what you want. Let me say it again. You're a statue where joy used to live. You're a statue where excitement once dwelt. There used to be praise and now there's nothing. There used to be tears and now it's dry as cracker juice. There used to be trips to the altar and now we couldn't dynamite you out of the pew you're sitting in. You worry more about, good God Almighty, I may preach. You worry more about who might be in your seat than you do what God has for you when you got here. What's the problem? It is a hard heart. John chapter number 21. Did I tell y'all to turn there? I want you to look at the very last verse of the book of John. John 21 and 25. Y'all there? And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Stay with me. John chapter number 20 and verse number 30. Just turn back a page. John chapter number 20, verse number 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus, watch this, in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. Stay with me. Jesus did enough while He was here that the world could not hold the books. We only have an insight that we might believe on Him, the Bible says. We only have an appetizer to the meal. We have no clue just what Jesus did. I think every waking minute of every single day, lives were being changed. Miracles were done over and over and over and over and over. In other words, to these 12 men, feeding 15,000 people was ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill Jesus. Y'all all right? Let me say it again. Feeding 15,000 people was such a small portion, was everyday, middle of the road, normal for living and walking with Him. Reasons for a hard heart. They were taking divine things lightly. In other words, what I'm saying is they got used to it. They got used to it. Well, this is just normal. No, 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 it ain't normal. When God moves in and God touches and God changes a life, God turns a marriage around, God a home together, God heals a cancer patient, God gets a baby out of ICU. Oh, somebody help me, we'll have church this morning. That ain't normal. But yet you sit and nod your little pointed Baptist head. Amen. What's the matter with you? I'll tell you what's the matter with you. You've hardened your heart. They're taking divine things lightly. God's saving sinners and you're focused on something else. God's saving sinners and you're worried about a bus kid that ain't dressed right. God's keeping people out of hell. God's answering prayers left and right. And you got your mind on somebody that said something, hurt your feelings. You got your mind on somebody that didn't pay you back. You got your mind on something wrong, friend. We've got God working, and we're worried about the day off. We okay this morning? I'm talking about reasons for a hard heart. And don't tell me I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I don't hear that junk. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to you. There's some hard-hearted Christians. I know these hard-hearted Christians in here, because if they wouldn't, if they was a tender-hearted child of God, somebody would already be piled up down here on this altar saying, oh God, I'm sorry. No response in an altar call. No response to preach word of God. It bounces off your head like a rubber ball. Let me get Joel on you here. Matter of fact, something tragic's got to take place in your life to cause a tear to roll down your cheek. Hard heart. You remember when you couldn't contain it? You remember when you first got saved, how sweet and how real it was? You know what's happened? You hear about or you see somebody saved every single week. And you've gone from, wow! Woo, man, did you see that? Did I tell you what the Lord did to me? Did I tell you what the Lord did at my church yesterday? Man, you ain't going to believe what God done now. I mean, and now it's just, How was church yesterday? We had five saved. We've hardened our hearts. And I got my finger right in it, ain't I? I'm fixing to pull a scab off that thing, squeeze a pus out of it. Amen? You say, that's too graphic. I got to get your attention some way. Quit balancing your stinking checkbook. Quit Facebooking. Quit Twittering. Quit texting and listen to the man of God preaching the word of God this morning. Hard hearts. Why are our hearts so hard? We're taking the divine things of God lightly. We're seeing more than 5,000 fed. We're seeing people saved. They got full. We're watching them get filled. They got a meal. We're watching them get eternity. They got to fix for a little while. They got to eat supper somewhere too. We're watching them get what they need for life. Hard. Hard hearts. You know what they was probably doing? You know what they were probably doing? It's probably griping. That's probably griping. They're so focused on this is my day off that they did not even realize, Brother Atkins, as they passed the basket. Go ahead, get you some. Hurry up. Get you some. Get you my day off. Good night. They didn't even realize what was happening. They didn't even realize that their basket of bread and fish wasn't getting no emptier. They were so focused on their problem. They were so focused on me, and this ain't fair. And I've been doing everything he said. I've been going everywhere he goes. I've been following this man night and day. Man, it's my time for a day off. I deserve it. And they don't even realize that God is performing a miracle right in front of their face. I guarantee you in a crowd this size, somebody somewhere done griped about something this morning. Some of you brought your attitude in with you today. Mother and her daughter were school shopping for school clothes. They had been in every store. They had looked high and low in three different towns for a pair of shoes. They come out of a shoe store and the mama looked at the little girl and said, "Did you see that look that cashier gave me?" She said, "Mommy, you had that look when you went in there." Reasons for a hard heart. I want to show you something. The Bible said back in our text in Mark chapter number 6 that they harden their hearts. Now, you know me. I don't put a dime's worth of stock in all that Greek and Hebrew stuff. But I want to tell you that word harden is the same word as calloused. How many construction workers I got in here this morning? I'm talking about men who work with their hands. Church full of them. I remember when I first started plumbing. I was a commercial plumber. I still have a license. It's out of date, but I got it. My first day on the job, plumbing. Plumbing says pipe, copper, commodes, sinks. I got to the job. We pulled up on the job. There's nothing there but a graded lot with some batter boards and some string. And I thought, where's the house we're going to put plumbing in? Right there. Where are we going to put the plumbing? In the ground. What kind of tools do I need? You just need one. He handed me a tool and he called it my backhoe. It was a shovel. And I started pushing that shovel at about 7:30 in the morning. By lunchtime, my little hands were bleeding. All right there at the base of my fingers, Brother Freddie, was so raw, I couldn't even hardly open them. They hurt so bad. All through my lunch hour, I blew on my hands. I went to the store and bought me a pair of brown cotton gloves, work gloves. Didn't help matters much. Day two. What are we going to do today? More of what you did yesterday. Shovel again. Day three. Shovel again. By the end of about that second week, something happened to my hands. What used to be soft, it's now got these big spots like leather. And I could push that shovel all day long and it had no effect. What happened? My hands became calloused. You know what causes calluses? Friction. Doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. It wasn't my plan to get calluses on my hand, but it was a result of doing the same thing over and over and over. Anybody getting this morning? It was a result of repeating the same thing over and over and over. I'm looking around this crowd this morning. I'm looking at my son, my daughters, and I'm looking at Melissa and Candace and Bibba ain't here. I'm looking at some of this crowd who have been in this church all their lives. What are you saying, preacher? Over and over and over and over. Listen, we're human. We cannot help it. When we repeat the same thing over and over and over and over and over, if we're not careful, they'll form a callus that when it happens again, we don't even feel it this time. And that's where we are. Thought about Brother Clint Massey. I don't know if he's in the room. I see Randy, his brother. I thought about Brother Clint. Mama used to go in his house on Sunday morning, wrap him up in a blanket no bigger than the size of this Bible right here. You can't imagine Clint being that little, but he would. Wrap him up in that little blanket, put him on a bus, and bring him to the house of God. What are you saying? Over and over and over and over and over till it gets to the point that you no longer feel it. It ain't Brother Eddie who's changed. It ain't the music who's changed. It's your heart that's got hard. Same way in a marriage. Same way on a job. If you'll watch military men, we've had a few. Lord's blessed us. Come through our church. Some of them stuck. Hallelujah. But about every 3 years, Brother Greg, their feet starts itching. They ain't used to staying in one place very long. They need something fresh. They need a new scenery. There's plenty of new right here if you want to look for it. Reasons for a hard heart. They take the things of God lightly. I'm telling you, feeding 15,000 people was a big thing. I believe it'd make 6 o'clock news. I believe probably front page on the paper in the morning. What do y'all think? But to them, just another day at church. To them, it was a messed up off day. To them, it was more of a burden than it was a blessing. They probably got on that boat. Can you believe we had to feed 15,000 people? The Lord didn't do it. He broke it and blessed it, and he told them to give it. Now, he's just going to go off up yonder by himself somewhere? He's probably sleeping. Come on, get real. Ain't that how we think? Isn't that exactly how we think? I cannot believe it. I visited my bus route all day yesterday. I put up with screaming kids all day today. It's 4:30. I just now pulled back in the parking lot. I got to be back at church in 2 hours. Good night. We take the things of God lightly. What about I visited my bus route all day yesterday? I got up early this morning, got on my bus. I didn't get back home to 4:30 this afternoon. Up with a little boy, got in junior church. They come in on my bus route, and he bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe I'll do it again next week. Reasons for a hard heart. They took the things of God lightly. We take the things of God too lightly. Quit bobbing your head and rejoice every now and then. Quit focusing on what's wrong and start focusing on what's right. Look around at your family. Sir, is your wife saved? Ma'am, is your husband saved? If you got children old enough, are they born again? Come on. If Jesus came today, would your family be gathered around the throne? Huh? Talk to me. Then shut up. The reason for a hard heart, they take the things of God too lightly. God's been good to you and you won't even acknowledge it. God's blessed your socks off, give you a home, give you a family, and you won't even say nothing about it. All you want to do is talk about what ain't wrong, what ain't right, and what's wrong. Hey man, why don't you lift your head and say, Lord, I want to bless your holy name. You've been good to me. I'm going to show you why you won't. Can I? I told you I ain't got no big outline this morning. But I'm going to tell you why you won't lift your head. I'm going to tell you why you won't rejoice this morning. Because I'm going to show you not only the reason for a hard heart, but I'm going to show you the result. The result of hardening your heart. Are y'all still in Mark chapter number 6? Won't you look at verse number 48? Here's the result of hardening your heart. I listen to them pages to quit turning. I know what time it is. I'm going to quit in a minute. The Bible said, and he, that's talking about Jesus, saw them. Now, what were they doing? Somebody tell me. Toiling and what? Toiling and rowing. For the wind was what? Contrary unto them. Now stay with me. Here's the result of hardening your heart. Toiling and rowing. Why? Because everything's contrary. It seems like everything's against you. Contrary means against. I promise you, you harden your heart to God, everything's going to start working against you. Or at least the devil's going to make you think that it is. Me and a good friend of mine, Timmy Malden, we went a fishing one day. He had a little John boat, or it may have been a canoe. I can't remember. We went up to Cartersville, where the power plant is. Brother Anthony, what river is that? Is that the Coosa River? Etowah. We put our boat in that river, and we went downstream. It was going to fix us a place to camp out and catfish all night. We set jugs, and we had limb hooks, and, you know, well, I mean, but we set up. Well, we started to go home. And when we started to go home, they started generating water, pulling water for that power plant. You could literally watch the river rise. I mean, just, and we were rowing against it. Here's what we noticed. The harder we paddled made no difference. We were going with the current. We're trying to paddle this way. We're doing everything we can. But what's happening is the current is stronger than he and I put together. We finally had to make it to the bank, drag the boat out of the water, and wait for it to stop. Some of you are trying to paddle upstream, and the current's stronger than you are. You're going through the motions. You got up. You went through the trouble to get everybody ready and get everybody. It was a fight and a fuss just to get out the door. You got to church this morning. Paddle harder, honey. We ain't getting nowhere. Come on, dig in. Let's do. We ain't going nowhere. It's because the heart is hard. And everything else just seems worse than it really is. We okay this morning? I'm telling you, that's where we are in Christianity. The devil's magnifying everything in the world. Your finances, your relationship is magnifying all this stuff. And you're toiling and you're rowing and you're toiling and you're running. Oh, Brother Eddie, pray for us. Oh. Where is hallelujah? Listen to me. He came to them. He came walking on the water. Listen, they just saw him feed 15,000 people, and now they don't even recognize him. Read it. They supposed it had been a spirit. The Holy Spirit can move in this room. I'm talking about shouting people. I'm talking about praying people. I'm talking about Bible reading people. The Holy Ghost move in this place. And you don't even realize he's here. You just saw him feed 15,000 people. Good night, man. You know what's happened? You've got used to seeing God work. You've got used to seeing God move. You're not in a dead church. You're in a place where God's at work. And you've got used to it, and it don't affect you no more. And now when he shows up, you don't even know it. I can prove it. Holy Spirit starts moving in here. People starts coming to the altar like this morning, tears running down people's face. They started singing, "I've been through enough to know He'll be enough to take care of me," or whatever it said. And people start crying around the church and coming to the altar. And just as short, hey, we're the same people. We heard the same song. We're in the same place. We're here at the same time. And some are crying, some are praying, and some are nothing. Null and void. Statue. We're going to start making plaques and put it at your feet. This is a memorial of a child of God who used to recognize Him when He showed up. Click your heels, Brother Eddie. Something. We need this. I don't want to get over watching God move. I don't want to get so spoiled rotten that I expect something every time. I bet I want to be amazed. When God does a work, I want to be able to say, "Well, hallelujah, look at there." When God answers a prayer, I want to be able to lift my hand and say, "He did it again. He did it again. He did it again. Glory to God, He did it again." Some of y'all just left your happy pants at the house, didn't you? I'm standing here preaching to a bunch of sour pusses this morning. And I got a feeling I about got your scab off, ain't I? I'm finna mash it. Ugh. Wonder how God feels when He looks at us. Wonder how God feels when we go to all the effort and we bring a sinner in here and they come walk the aisle and somebody takes a Bible and leads them to Christ and we sit there and go, wonder if they really got saved. You put no value in it on Sunday night when I announce how many bus kids got saved because you sit there doubting if they really did. You know what that makes me want to do? Makes me want to doubt if you really did. Whew, good night. Divine things used to overshadow the storms. Can I say it again? God could do something small in your life, and it was so magnified by the Holy Ghost, it overshadowed the bills. It overshadowed the gossip. It overshadowed all. Are y'all listening to me? You remember the day after you got saved? Couldn't nobody made me mad if they wanted to. Man, I ain't going to hell. Somebody could have said, "You had a blankety blank so-and-so." And I said, "Yeah, and I ain't going to hell. Hallelujah." Something happened and we've got past that. We need to get like David and fall on our face somewhere and say, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. I've gotten over it, God. Renew it again afresh in my heart and my mind what You did." At 10 years, Brother J.M. renewed our vows. I tell you the song Sister Janice sung. I crossed my heart and promised to. Never forget it. We didn't get married again. Can't get married but once to the same person. I guess you could, but technically, you know what I'm saying. We didn't get married again. We didn't have to go get a license or nothing like that. We just renewed our vows. At 20 years. It's been almost 10 years ago. It's hard to believe, ain't it? I got Miss Vanessa and Miss Edwina, and I said, "I want to surprise Sister Angie on Sunday night, our anniversary. I want to renew our wedding vows." Well, I didn't realize them two took off with it, and we didn't renew our vows. We had a wedding that we never had. And it was phenomenal. We didn't get married again. We just renewed those vows. After we repeated those words to each other, we went home and oh. Y'all listening to me this morning? Have you gotten used to it? Have you just gotten used to these bus kids running up down the hall? All you worried about is where they're running or not. I don't want to get over the fact that they're here.
I don't want to get over the fact that God's still changing lives. The reason for a hard heart, the result is toiling and rowing. You say, preacher, we're just fighting and fighting and fighting. Is your heart hard? Is your heart hard? Preacher, we're about ready to throw in the towel. Is your heart hard? How long has it been since you wept before God? How long has it been since you was driving down the road and the Holy Spirit got in the vehicle with you and you just had a time worshiping and praising Him? I'm telling you, your heart is hard. That's what's wrong. Jesus came walking on the water and they didn't even recognize Him. He's here this morning. Some of you don't recognize Him either. The remedy for a hard heart. I'm going to quit. I got a bunch more, but I believe I'm giving you exactly what God said to do. The remedy for a hard heart. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 51. I'm just going to read. Now I'm going to read the whole thing. And he, y'all looking at it? And he went up unto them, watch this, into the ship. Business picks up when he gets in the boat, don't it? And the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. How many times you got to see this? Hey, James. Hey, Pete. Hey, John. How many times you got to see him do this? Remember the last time he did it? Just pages over. Just pages over. They saw it and were sore amazed. Mark chapter number 4, wow, did you see that? Even the sea and the winds obey him. Man, I can't believe it. Mark chapter number 6, he did it again, and they go, wow, did you see that? I can't believe he did that. What happened to you? Why, and I'm done. Brother Todd, y'all come and get a song. Why did this miracle amaze them? And the loaves and fishes didn't. This statement, I'm done. Why did this miracle amaze them? And the loaves and fishes did nothing for them. Loaves and fishes wasn't their problem. Loaves and fishes wasn't their trouble. They just got their day off jacked up. They just got their break messed up. It's just another day at work for them. But in that boat, it's them that are in trouble. It's them that he touched. It's them that he helped. It's them that he rescued. Brother Michael Powell, Lord willing, will come over here and he'll stand in the corner of that balcony in a few minutes and he'll hold up so many fingers. He'll be telling me how many got saved. And you'll clap. What if it was your child? What if it was your son? What if it was your daughter? What if it was your grandbaby? Would it make a difference? You see, it makes a difference when God comes in and affects us personally. But yet I stand here and preach to a crowd who no doubt God in the person of the Holy Spirit has affected every single one of our lives personally. He's answered prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer. We sat here saved on our way to heaven. We're as close to hell as we'll ever be. But yet we sit here null and void when we ought to be shouting glory to His name. Stand to your feet this morning. Here's the sermon in a sentence. Don't forget the feast. Don't forget the feast. Nighttime's coming. The winds are going to blow. Your little ship's going to be rocked to and fro. Don't forget the feast. They sang, I've been through enough to know he'll be enough. What'll get me through tomorrow? What got me through yesterday? What'll get me through the next valley and the next trial? Same thing got me through it last time. And I can look back on it and say, boy, God did that back yonder. Surely he can handle this right here. Don't forget the feast. Go back to a feast in your life. To a sick child. To a hurting marriage. Go back to a feast in your life. To a lost soul that had no hope without Christ. Here you sit saved and born again this morning. Let's bow our heads this morning. Well, by looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed. Wasn't a salvation message this morning, but that certainly don't mean you can't come and get saved this morning. I wonder if there's somebody here in the house today said, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know if I died right now if heaven would be my home. You listen to me good. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you for nothing. I'm just going to pray for you. You just slip up your hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now if heaven would be my home. How about it? Anybody? How about this morning? Now, be honest. If you can't be honest with me, you sure can't be honest with God. And then you sure can't be honest with yourself. Preacher, I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. Hey, no doubt, if I die right now, heaven will be my home. I promise you that. But there's some joy missing. There's some happy missing. And I'm afraid it's because I have hardened my heart. How about it? Thank God for honesty. Now listen, if we realize that the heart is hard, there's a remedy. And the remedy is just get him back in the boat. When those old hands get calloused and hard, you know what they make? They make lotion. And it soothes that. And it softens that skin again. The Bible said in the Old Testament that there is a balm in Gilead. You know what a balm is? It's an ointment or a lotion. And if we'll just get rubbed in real good with the Holy Spirit this morning, he can soften that old calloused heart if we'll just allow him. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, we thank you for good liberty to preach your word. Lord, I'm at ease this morning. I'm at peace. Lord, in that I know I did what you asked me to do. Lord, please help my people not to take this as a scolding message, but a helping message. Lord, none of us wants to sit around with a scowl look and a hard heart, but yet we do it. How we do it, Lord, I don't understand. How we could experience all the grace and all the goodness and all the mercy and everything that goes with that and then sit there and complain. I don't know how I've done it, but Lord, I've done it. I don't know why I've done it, but Lord, I have. Lord, could it be that at times we just harden our heart to the things of God? Lord, let us never get over it. You saw the hands. You know every heart. Have your way this morning. And Jesus, we'll give you all the glory, for it's in your name I pray. Amen.